What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Always appreciate you guys hanging out here live at our FTN YouTube page. Smash the like button. You have any comments, any questions? Now is the time to leave them, especially if you are a hockey fan. We got Pete Jensen of NHL.com. He is going to join me in a little bit. We are going to talk about a couple games here on this evening's slate. A really good matchup between the Colorado Avalanche and the Edmonton Oilers. Going to dive in a little bit into the Ottawa Senators and the Columbus Blue Jackets. And since we do have Pete on the show, if you do have any fantasy hockey questions, playoff time, now is the time to get him in. Of course, he is the director and senior fantasy editor over at NHL.com and the co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice, a great podcast. I've had the pleasure to join him a couple times, and obviously very insightful. Those at Game Plus Network, Anthem Sports Entertainment, very familiar with Pete Jensen. So really looking forward to having a conversation about tonight's action in the NHL and just get his thoughts. Now we're a week away here. The season basically ends, I think, on Thursday, but then they have the makeup game on the Sunday, so there's a couple days there. The gap between the final day and then the makeup game between Seattle and Winnipeg, I do believe. There was a massive storm in Winnipeg last week, and they had to postpone that game and push it back. But it's here now. Stanley Cup, I can feel it, can't you? I can really feel it. Just watching some of the games last night, certainly Toronto and Tampa Bay, looking like a first-round preview between those two teams. So going to ask Pete's thoughts, who he thinks best chance of winning the Stanley Cup, maybe get an early prediction out of him, and also just get his thoughts on Dallas and Vegas. Dallas now two straight losses in Edmonton and last night in Calgary. Both teams, four games remaining, and we'll see. I think Dallas has a slightly better schedule, but they both play each other as well. Four games remaining, and they will play each other, so that should be a highly entertaining game. Going to talk some MLB on this show, MLB props and picks. I got some NBA playoff stuff for you as well. Fantastic night of NBA games yesterday. The Warriors got it done. Again, they look phenomenal. The chokehold, 3-0 series lead. And I don't know how they're going to be stopped, especially with Devin Booker now looking like he's going to be out for 3 weeks, maybe minimum. He's not going to play tonight. The Suns and Pelicans with that series tied up at one. Then the Mavs and the Utah Jazz game. That was phenomenal to watch last night, certainly for me. But back and forth between those two teams. Utah came all the way back, made a game of it. But man, Jalen Brunson, unrestricted free agent in the offseason. This guy is going to get paid. I can't believe the performances that he has put on in games 1, 2, and 3 with Luka Doncic out. Shout out to Spencer Dinwiddie as well. And a great comeback by the Memphis Grizzlies. I turned off, not gonna lie. It was like 30 points. I just felt like it was over, and Minnesota was rolling at home, and Memphis comes all the way back. That's a heartbreaker if you're a Timberwolves fan. That's a tough pill to swallow. So talk a little bit about the NBA slate. We also have Atlanta and Miami, and then Milwaukee and Chicago. So the two top teams missing pieces, and Chris Middleton going to be sidelined here with an MCL sprain for the Bucks, and Booker is a huge loss for the Suns. I'm kind of leaning Pelicans. In fact, I did put him in the bet tracker last night to come back as a long shot plus 220 for that series. But I like him to maybe just for that series to go six. Right, you can take the series spread plus 1.5 for the Pelicans, and I believe that was at minus 130. So I still think it's a decent price. I think it's going to be a fantastic series the rest of the way, but Booker is a huge, huge loss. A couple things I want to get to here off the top of the show. Of course, it is a very sad day in Montreal here today, and you know, thoughts and prayers and everything, condolences goes out to Guy Lafleur and his family, and unfortunately passed away this morning at the age of 70. Guy Lafleur, the flower, man, just, you know, so many records that he still holds today for the Canadians. Of course, his number 10 retired from the Raptors, 5 cups, 4 in a row, Hart Trophy twice, Art Ross 3 times, Conn Smythe in 1977. First player to score at least 50 goals and 100 points in 6 straight seasons. He was the first to do that. He's first all-time in the Canadiens in points with over 1,200. First on the Canadiens all-time list in assists, 728. He played 961 games. 136 points in a season is still a Montreal record, which will not be broken. 6 40-goal seasons, 6 50-goal seasons, 6 100-point seasons as well. So in loving memory there, Guy Lafleur, the flower. Guy. I had the chance to meet him a few years ago in Montreal. I believe it was 2005. The Canadiens, their home opener against the Boston Bruins, you know, it was just a special event at the Bell Center just outside, and he was there. He was taking pictures, and, you know, I had the chance to get my picture taken with him, which I know meant It certainly meant a lot to me. Clearly, I don't have a lot of Guy Lafleur memories, but my old man watched them nonstop. So I watched a lot of the replays with him. And of course, I remember in Boston with 79 and that slap shot goal from, you know, the blue line. And was it offside? And the Don Cherry, you know, that classic look that he had on the Bruins bench. But it was really cool for me to see my dad just be in awe of, you know, really meeting his hero, his idol, at a, you know, from a young age, and watching him grow, you know, my dad growing up, but watching Guy in the 70s and all those cups. And, you know, it must have been nice for him to see all the success, you know, that his favorite team did have. But it was really a really cool moment. They had a nice conversation. I was able to jump in there on the conversation as well. And he was a really just nice guy. And I know, you know, my partner Deanna and my mom also, you know, had a little moment with him and a picture taken as well. And he was saying to us, like, how did you get these ladies? You know what I mean? He was just a really a down to earth guy, and obviously one of the best goal scorers of all time, Guy Lafleur. We got some hockey stuff a little bit later on. So Pete Jensen is going to join me. Going to just kind of pat myself on the back here a little bit. Does feel weird at times, but I really want to push the FTM bet tracker. Had some people reach out recently about this. So all my picks, of course, can be found on the show and Dango Betselli. Eric Young was texting me all night. I must have got about 15 texts from him about goal scorers that he hit last night. He had a really solid day over at Dango Betselli as well. But last night alone, up 17 units. You see the units overall, 97, sides 43, and 31 on props. We did have, you know, the shot props on this show, the Adrian Kempe, Kevin Hayes, Ricard Raquel is 2-unit props. We didn't get Sagan. We were in on Ben. You know, we had some parlay talk. We mentioned the Florida Panthers would roll the Sabres money line and the over there. Had the puck line in LA and Calgary and St. Louis there. So it did work out. Obviously, it's not always going to work out like that. We were down to 30 some odd units mid-early March. It was a rough go. I was kind of feeling not great. I just, you know, obviously want to be able to have some success. So there have been some people reaching out. So I just wanted to, of course, pump the tires a little bit, but also just say that, you know, if you are on the fence for a betting package over at ftmbets.com, DMs are open. If you have any questions at all, you can sign up monthly. We keep track of all of our picks. We keep track of everything. We have the Discord channel. We have some tools, all the picks, all the bets available across all the sports from everybody over at ftnbets.com. We'll talk bankroll management, all that good stuff. We also have a lot of fantasy hockey talk as well. You know, we mentioned yesterday the huge hit that one of our subs had at 10K over at ftndaily.com. We'll continue the hockey talk here on this show. Pete Jensen of NHL.com is in here next. We'll take a look at tonight's slate, get his thoughts on Dallas or Vegas, who he thinks is going to get in, and who's his early lean for a Stanley Cup final here. Will it be Tampa Bay again? 3 times in a row? Can they do it? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Keep her locked. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back to Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meaning with you as we bring in the director, senior fantasy editor, and the co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice. It is Pete Jensen of NHL.com. Pete, always a pleasure, dude, to catch up. And I wanted to, you know, get you on this show before the Stanley Cup playoffs, you know, got underway. I know you're going to be really busy over at NHL.com. So we're kind of there. We have a good feel of who's going to get in. We don't really know the matchups. But speaking of matchups, you and I are playing in one in my home keeper league. We are both in the finals against each other. So I thought, you know what? Got to have you on the show this week. So I appreciate your time for jumping on here. And how's things going, man?
Everything's great, man. Great to catch up with you. Always appreciate when you jump on our show, NHL Fantasy on Ice. And you're, of course, one of the best in the business for all these different sports you cover. So always happy to hear when you're covering hockey. And obviously, you're always delivering with the picks. So it's going to be crazy to see how this thing wraps up, right, with our matchup. I know some of my goalies haven't been starting so far, right? I benched Sorokin earlier in the week, kind of regretted it. Then he didn't get the start against the Rangers, nor did Spencer Knight or Ville Husso. So kind of left hanging right now, but hoping for the best. It's going to be a tough battle against you.
Oh, man. Like, this guy, he's the nicest guy in the world. He comes in here, you know, he's kind of pumping my tires. You know, Pete, you do some great work, and it's going to be a fantastic matchup. There's a couple guys on your team that I wanted to talk to you about. We'll get to in a few moments, but Yeah, I did catch a break yesterday, not going to lie, with your three goalies. None of them getting a start, all three? You kidding me? I couldn't believe that last night. But and when you have Spencer Knight, you know it's basically an automatic W, right? You just put him out there that the Panthers are going to score enough goals for him to get going. We'll talk about the Panthers in a little bit. Something I do on this show is like it's not all betting and it's not all good all the time, trust me. But something I like to do is take a look at just the three stars from last night. Here's a graphic of these three, and two of them hat tricks. It's hard to leave. There's a lot of great performances last night, Pete, of course, with 11 games on the schedule. But yeah, the hat trick there from Jake Guentzel, the hat trick from Andrew Kopp. Casey DeSmith may have to, he's going to be the guy here for Pittsburgh, potentially down the stretch with Jari. I think he's week to week, right, with a foot injury. 52 saves last night against the Boston Bruins. But I want to talk to you about Andrew Kopp. Man, what a pickup for the New York Rangers. Frank Vatrano is a guy that couldn't crack the lineup in Florida. Now he's playing on that top line. He's contributing almost every single night here and there with a goal or two. Chris Kreider's got a lot of offense. Igor Shesterkin's fantastic. And this Rangers team looks really good, and they got a chance to win the Metro, Pete.
Yeah, and I kind of like the way that they match up against any team they play against in that Metro division, especially if Freddie Anderson is not fully healthy for the Carolina Hurricanes, if they do cross paths again. Of course, we know that the Rangers style a couple years ago in that mini series against Carolina didn't translate well, but they got a couple of bruisers now. They got a couple, they got a better coach, in my opinion, in Gallant, great impact this year. And they got a simpler goalie situation, right? At that time, they had Hank Lundqvist and Georgiev, and of course, Shesterkin was kind of like waiting in the wings. Now Shesterkin's the best goalie in the league, bar none. So yeah, I'm excited about the addition of Andrew Kopp. I believe there was some kind of injury situation where he left that game early yesterday. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on that. Not sure if it was an injury or just something precautionary, but hopefully it's nothing serious, because Andrew Kopp is like a Swiss Army knife that the Rangers can play at any different position. If injuries happen, he's going to be an asset to the Rangers come playoff time.
Yeah, he really is. I love the way that he plays. He's just like one of those great guys that you want to have on your team come playoff time. He plays really hard, physical. He throws his body around. He's not afraid to shoot. You can move him all over the ice. He can play a little bit of center for you. He's skilled enough to be on the power play, maybe kill some penalties too. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he didn't skate here today, so listed as day-to-day. 15 games with the Rangers, 8 goals and 18 points so far, plus 14. Yeah, he is really contributing across the board. It seemed like a really good addition. One guy that I noticed is on your fantasy team and that you were talking on NHL Fantasy on Ice was Corrali, as we do have a matchup here tonight between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Ottawa Senators. It's basically a pick 'em here, Pete, but I want you to talk to me about Corrali, and he seems to be like a stat stuffer right now. At this time of the year, you have to be active and kind of live in the moment, which is something that you and I talked about when I joined you last time come fantasy playoff time. What have you seen from him that you've liked so far?
I've seen value regardless of lineup placement. Of course, right now with Columbus, they're dealing with injuries to some key players like Patrick Laine and Zach Werenski. We'll see if those guys come back before the end of the season, but there's no rush for them to do so if there's any risk in doing so. So yeah, Corrali's kind of a guy that's holding the lineup together right now, playing some bigger minutes, and he's been playing big minutes even before those injuries that I mentioned. And of course, he covers block shots well for a forward. He covers hits really well. And then face-off wins, which our league counts, that was kind of the tipping point where I really was going to say, I'm going to spend one of my four precious ads for the two-week championship on Sean Corrali, because he checks so many different boxes. So, and he's super underrated. I mean, prior to this week, I don't think we mentioned him on our show all year long. I'm not sure if you guys did either, but
no.
Sometimes the under-the-radar hidden gems are the guys that make all the difference in your fantasy championship.
I think it's a bonus that you're getting goals and points from him, right? Points in the four of the last five. But you mentioned the face-off wins, right? He's got 24 face-off wins in his last three games. He's got 15 hits over his last three games. He's blocking a couple shots there for you as well. Doesn't look like the Blue Jackets will have Patrick Laine in the lineup, who you saw there on the board. Maybe not Zach Werenski either. The Ottawa Senators, one of those pesky teams again. Do you feel like they've taken a step forward? Is this an... Would you feel like this was a disappointing year from Ottawa? You're seeing production from Tim Stützle lately. Josh Norris has had a fantastic season. Drake Batherson, you know, when he's healthy, you know, he was great too. You know, he missed a little bit of time there. I forget who the goalie was that had that cheap shot behind the net there. Was it Aaron Dell? Maybe it was Dell. It's coming to my head.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he missed some time with the ankle injury. Would you view this as you know, just another bump in the road for Ottawa's maybe disappointing season? Like, how do you see their future?
I mean, their future is bright. I mean, if you look at our top 100 keeper dynasty rankings, I believe they're tied for the most 25 and under players as of the start of next season, around the start of next season. They got 8 guys on that list, which includes a couple of defensemen. They got, you know, Thomas Chabot, and Brännström, and of course Jake Sanderson, who's going to be one of the best NHL players to have not yet played a game among the guys that have signed their deals, and a high pick from a couple years ago. So, you know, they're crowded on the blue line. Goalie's a question mark moving forward, but Anton Forsberg has had a really strong save percentage with a good volume, nice consistency, even playing for a non-contending team this year. So, and they re-signed him too. So, you know, the Matt Murray thing has been a big disappointment with injuries. Murray was decent when he was healthy this year, but, you know, just can't stay in the lineup. And then offensively speaking, they got 2 strong lines. So as much as we look at Ottawa and saying, it didn't happen just yet, it didn't materialize for a random playoff push, or, you know, they're not ahead of schedule, I'm still very excited about them as we reach the tail end of the season, because now the group is getting close to healthy and they've been a dangerous team. They've been a spoiler in certain games. And I think fantasy wise, they're just super underrated and underappreciated. They will be in drafts next year. So go back to the well with a couple of those guys.
It's great advice. I agree 100%. I love Batherson. I love Norris. Brady Tkachuk obviously can fill a lot of categories for you. And certainly Tim Stützle is a really good player too. Yeah, Josh Norris, I mean, 33 goals, 51 points in 61 games. That's pretty good. The shooting percentage is a little high at 21%, but last year it was 17%. Like, he's just a good shooter. I think that's it. I don't know if he'll stay around that career mark, but clearly this guy's a 30-goal scorer in the NHL. Doing it in year two is pretty impressive. There's a really solid looking matchup tonight in the NHL between the Colorado Avalanche and the Edmonton Oilers. You know, there's some great guys, of course, on Colorado and on Edmonton. We could see a lot of goals here in this game. I ask you, is this the year for Colorado? But I'm more intrigued to get your thoughts on what you think of the Edmonton Oilers here as a team that's playing really good hockey down the stretch, getting good goaltending, in particular from Mike Smith lately. He had the back-to-back shutouts, which helped me out in one of my leagues. And the goaltending, aside from Mike Smith, the play at home has been really good, Pete. What do you think about this matchup tonight? What do you think about the Oilers in the playoffs?
I mean, Colorado very rarely loses consecutive games, and they slipped up the other night against the Kraken, so, you know, probably bounce back spot for them. But Edmonton has been picking up some nice wins here and there, right? Dallas, Vegas, some meaningful wins against contending teams, which makes you feel a little bit better about them heading into the postseason based on their play of late. And yeah, I mean, you were mentioning Casey DeSmith, and I know Antti Raanta has been really valuable lately in the absence of Freddie Anderson, but no goalie in my book. Maybe Cam Talbot can match has matched what Mike Smith has been able to do over the past couple of weeks. But with a couple of shutouts, I mean, Mike Smith has, at 40 years old, I mean, he's revitalized, he's staying healthy, and he could be a difference maker for the Oilers in the playoffs. We've seen him excel in the playoffs before at a much younger age with the Coyotes, but yeah, I think it's a total revelation what's going on with him, and it gives the Oilers a different layer in their position of greatest need, right? We know they can score. We know they have a deep defense with Barry and Nurse and Bouchard, but now we're really talking with Mike Smith playing this way.
Yeah, Mike Smith, man. I'm looking again over the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's got the two shutouts. He's got the 981 save percentage. He's turned aside 103 of 105 shots he's faced. Even before that, though, he got lit up against the Blues. He gave up five. Then against the Ducks, he stopped 31 of 32. Then against the Sharks, he stopped 31 of 32. The Kings, 31 of 33. Those were three games on the road. Then they went back to Koskinen for a couple. And then they went back to Smith. Shutout, shutout, Dallas, 34 of 36. Like, the guys, and all of a sudden, Pete, he's got a 2.88 goals against average. He's got 14 wins and 913 save percentage. I was going to ask you if you thought they would go back and forth in the playoffs between him or Koskinen, but clearly it's going to be whatever he can do at his age if he can stay healthy. Do you have any other sneaky fantasy hockey pickups? I mean, you can tell your secrets. I'm not going to pick them up and steal them and play against you. Do you have anyone else that comes to your mind?
Well, I'm definitely having fun watching Matty Beniers. And that the Seattle Kraken play that final game of the season, the rescheduled game. So, you know, if he's going to be suiting up in that, and he's been picking up points left and right, still sparsely rostered. I believe in our league, he's still out there. I'm choosing between him and another more proven player for this week to pick up. I've been eyeing them both, but we could see who gets to the waiver wire fastest after the show. But Matty Beniers, I think, is making a profound impact for Seattle, considering he's kind of a one-man show right now. And I think even though it's been a disappointing team overall in their expansion season, inaugural season, I'm excited about what this team can do with a well-rounded group and money to spend in free agency in the future, right? So Beniers plus maybe a free agent splash and good possession metrics, top half of the league last I checked this season at large, all of a sudden you could be talking very soon, maybe some bounce backs from a couple of players. But I like Beniers and I like Vince Dunn on that same first power play as fantasy pickups for the rest of the season. From another non-contender, you see my team, right, Chris? I got non-contending team players left and right. I got Raymond and Sider and Zegras, and I had Schmaltz for a while. So it's working, especially if plus minus doesn't count.
Well, you got McDavid and I have Drysdale, so it doesn't really officially cancel each other out because it kind of, but I mean, I think you got the slight edge there. I saw Buchnevich for you last night. Brock Nelson, like, what a season for Brock Nelson, dude. 4 away from 40 goals in the season. You got Hedman there. Yeah, your team is strong. Sider was maybe a late round pickup for you, or a great waiver wire ad in this league that counts hits and blocks and shots. He's a phenomenal. He's going to be, in my opinion, I think even moving forward, like thinking long term, like he's going to be a guy that I'll probably rank as a top 10, top 12 guy in those formats with just the ice time that he does get. I'm loaded with Panthers, and I'm sure you noticed that. Nobody's here to hear about our fantasy hockey teams, but I do have, I think, five forwards in Huberto and Duclair and Bennett, and I'm rolling out for Haggy, a couple Florida Panthers. I like the Seattle call, the Kraken. I was looking at Matty as well. Points in all four games. I got a goal there. He's got nine shots, I think, as well. He does look like a player. It's interesting to see the difference between Seattle and Vegas, just with how amazing their team was to start, and then the Kraken and how Ron Francis went about things, taking some guys that he could flip for some picks and some cap flexibility. But you're right, and they can sign some guys. They're going to get a top pick this year. They could get first overall in Shane Wright. I think that they'll turn it around pretty quickly, honestly, in Seattle, even though the roster doesn't look fantastic right now. Pete, hold on. We'll break. I want to bring up the Stanley Cup odds with you. I want to get your early thoughts, your early leans, the bloodbath in the East, who you think is going to come out. If you think that, is it going to be Vegas, Dallas? We'll take a look at the remaining schedule as well. Lots more to come here on Meat Streets. Don't go anywhere. Chris Meaney and Pete Jensen of NHL.com here with you. Thanks for taking the time to hang out here on Game Plus Network. Pete, before we get into the Stanley Cup odds and get your thoughts there, I got to ask you about Vegas and Dallas here. So as of today, we have Dallas in the second wild card spot in the West, 91 points, four games remaining, all four games remaining at home. Seattle, Vegas, Arizona, and Anaheim. The Golden Knights also 4 games remaining, and they have 89 points, just 2 points back, and a bit of a road swing for them. They play San Jose at home, then they go into Dallas, into Chicago, into St. Louis. Clearly that game against the Stars is going to mean a whole lot. If Dallas wins that one, it's probably game over for the Vegas Golden Knights. But if the Golden Knights maybe win that game, I could come right down to that final game. If you had a lean, I think the schedule is a little bit nicer for Dallas. Do you have a feel of who gets in?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be Dallas, right? Like, I feel like they've been more consistent down the stretch of the season. The Golden Knights have just been plagued by injuries this year. And the team may seem a little dysfunctional right now and stuff like that. But, you know, Leonard's been injured. Stone's been injured. Pacioretty's been injured. Eichel has been back for the past couple of weeks, obviously, and playing at a decent level, but he was coming off a major injury too. This is obviously a colossal disappointment, but yeah. The one thing you could say, you could pin it on the injuries. So I think that even, you know, a couple of point gap right now is huge. So, and we've seen like even a team like the LA Kings, right? Like they were in grave danger about a week ago, and now they've won 3 in a row, taking advantage of a schedule with all non-contending teams down the stretch. And now the Kings appear to be fairly safe. A couple of days ago, if we talked, the Canucks were in the mix. Now the Canucks have dropped 2 in a row and they're pretty much toast. Still a bright future for Vancouver. But if I was choosing between Dallas and Vegas, Dallas is the safer team. Vegas, in terms of their futures outlook beyond this season, I still think they have a lot of bounce back appeal. I don't think they should tear it down or anything like that. They have gotten a bright spot in Logan Thompson. If Logan Thompson plays their games the rest of the way, I think they have a better chance to sneak into the playoffs. I don't know if you agree, but he's been a real bright spot for that franchise this year with everything that's gone wrong.
I do agree. Yes, I do. I mean, I think maybe Robin Lehner has more upside, but he's just not 100. He's just not healthy, and it's just not working for him. Is one of the another guy that dealt with injuries, and Alec Martinez. There's been so much going on in Vegas, but I think we can agree that they have the higher ceiling. They have the better chance of upsetting Colorado in the first round than Dallas. I feel pretty confident in saying that. But the 4 games at home certainly is the difference maker, and they're really good on home ice, 24-10-3, the Dallas Stars. So I feel like Dallas, they beat Seattle, Vegas beat San Jose, then it comes down to that game. And then if Vegas does win it, all of a sudden you're tied. But the remaining 2 games for Dallas, Arizona, and Anaheim, I think there's just a little bit more firepower for Vegas, opposing teams rather, to go into Chicago. You still got Kane and DeBrincat who can take over a game. Taves is playing pretty good lately. I noticed that Tyler Johnson is back in the lineup, kind of hitting the score sheet. And then at St. Louis, this team just keeps scoring left, right, and center. So that's not going to be easy. Final game of the season, and you know the Blues are going to want to knock out the Golden Knights as well. So, and they're going to be fighting for home ice against the Wild. So there's still a lot to play for, and it'll be tougher opponents, I think, for the Golden Knights. These are the Stanley Cup odds. Just wanted to bring them up with you. You know, Colorado up at the top, favored. Florida, Calgary in there. So 2 teams that really just jumped up, Pete, since the start of the season. The Panthers were 26-1. The Flames were 25-1 before they picked up Tyler Toffoli and went on that run. Maple Leafs in there, Lightning. It looks like a first-round matchup between those 2 teams. They both played last night, and it was highly entertaining, not just because the Leafs lost by 6 or 7, jokes aside. Carolina, the Rangers, Boston, Minnesota there. You don't have to talk to me about odds or picks. I'd just like to get your thoughts on maybe the West and the East. Like, who are 2 or 3 teams that maybe you'll be targeting in your fantasy hockey playoffs? Like, if you're doing any drafts with your buddies or you're doing your in-season rankings, who are a couple teams that you're looking for?
I mean, I think the winner of that St. Louis-Minnesota series could really pose a threat to the Avalanche in the next round, assuming the Avalanche would get past Dallas if they had a rematch from 2 years ago. Much stronger team than Dallas, and I completely agree. They're probably hoping to play Dallas compared to Vegas after what went down last year and they failed to make adjustments. You don't want to let Vegas sneak in, and if they do, they got to put them away early because we all saw what happened last year with Colorado losing 4 straight. A couple teams that really like jump out to me, deep teams, deeper than usual, Minnesota Wild, Boston Bruins, St. Louis Blues. Those are all teams that like usually rolling three strong lines and having good goaltending are the most important things come playoff time. Minnesota obviously has, I think, a stronger defense than St. Louis, but St. Louis is pretty deep as well. They've survived a longer term injury to Torrey Krug. Parts of the season, they were still scoring like crazy. And then the Boston Bruins, I feel like, are a sleeper because they're in that same division as Florida and Tampa and Toronto, right? Like, would you be surprised if Boston knocked off any of those teams in a seven-game series? I certainly wouldn't. And then if they did, you'd look at them in a completely different light. And maybe, like we'd say, the Stanley Cup window is still open for the veteran members of that team. So, yeah, those are teams that I'm excited about, just potential upsets in any given series that they play, and certainly capable of deeper runs. But Minnesota, like with what they've gotten from Matt Boldy, gives them another layer. Two strong goalies in Talbot and Fleury gives them insurance. Minnesota is probably the team that I like the most out of those three. I like them to squeak by St. Louis if I were to pick based on today for our NHL.com picks. And then I think Colorado would have their hands full, as Vegas did last year against those Wild.
Yeah, the Wild are great. I love their squad. I just feel like they have a playoff team. Like, just the way that their style of play that they play heavy. They got skill. They're good defensively, like you said. And I mean, if anything happens to Fleury or Talbot, either or, right? I mean, they could go back and forth. I think they got to choose. And I feel like they're going to go with Fleury in the experience. I feel like he's going to be the game one starter. But yeah. Talbot is more than capable in case anything does happen to Fleury. That is going to be a phenomenal series to watch. I still like the Flames, Pete. I'm still a big fan of Calgary and what they have to offer. And if they can avoid those teams right into the third round, if they play, say they play, I guess they play Nashville, if they could beat Nashville, and then they have the matchup between LA or Edmonton, I would give them the benefit of the doubt against those two teams as well. I do think the Kings could be sneaky. I'd like to see Drew Doughty in there. It's tough to pick a side, man. I do like your Bruins call as well. Avoiding Florida would be key for them. You know, maybe that matchup against Carolina or the Rangers. We do kind of got to get out of here, but we're north of the border. Those are in Toronto area, Ontario area. The Leafs have been playing really good hockey, Pete, over the last month, aside from last night. Of course, there's no Austin Matthews in there. They didn't have Jack Campbell between the pipes, and Tampa showed up in a big way. Quickly, right. Just like a minute or so on both of those teams. Is it too much hockey? Have they played too much hockey, Tampa Bay, to go back to back to back? Is all the hockey maybe going to catch up? Do you think they could flip the switch? Or is this the year that maybe Toronto just get a little bit of puck luck? Let's be honest. They've been a little bit unlucky in the first round of the playoffs over the past couple of years. Is this the year that maybe they could beat Tampa and go on a run?
I would probably lean towards Tampa in a series against the Leafs if they met up. I like the Florida Panthers more than I like the Leafs, and I like the Boston Bruins more than I like the Leafs. Okay. So, I mean, I'm not dismissing the Leafs. I know that they've been capable of bigger things than they've actually put forth the past couple of postseasons. I've been disappointed by them. I think their roster is a little worse than it was the past couple of years. I think they will miss Freddie Anderson. I don't know that he was fully appreciated over the years. I don't know that their goaltending's better without him. I do like, you know, the fact that Muzzin, you know, when Muzzin's healthy and Giordano's there, like, I feel better about Toronto and their chances of winning a playoff series. But, you know, I think Florida's drought much more likely to come to an end than Toronto's this year. And for Tampa, like, I don't see them three-peating, but I don't see them going down quietly because their big five is healthy. Even a guy that's been slumping a little bit, Killorn, popped off yesterday. You can't overlook a player like that, especially with the postseason experience. And, you know, a little underwhelming performance during the fantasy playoffs from Vasilevsky, right? 10 goals allowed in the first two games and then losing to Detroit the other night. Nobody could have expected that in their wildest dreams, but I think there's some bounce back appeal from him. He could steal a playoff series on his own. And I'm really curious to see, you know, who Tampa's going to match up with if they go to the other side of the bracket. Things could get really interesting, and they could be like the lower seeded team, but definitely win that series. So, yeah, I'm not dismissing Tampa's chances of winning in the first round. I just don't think that they have the depth to three-peat and go on another rigorous run, you know?
Yeah, I do. I feel that way, too. I feel like they could flip a switch. They get enough experience. Vasilevskiy, to your point, could steal them a round or two. But it's I mean, I don't want to count them out, but it's been a lot of hockey over the past couple of years. I do like the Nick Paul addition. I like him playing on that top line, too. Maybe, getting some stuff together for another playoff run. All right, dude, appreciate your time, man. You're fantastic. Check out Pete Jensen, NHL Jensen, on the Twitter machine. Again, the director, senior fantasy editor over at NHL.com, and the co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice. He will have rankings for you come playoff time, real NHL playoffs. Guys, to help you out in your pool. He'll be with you talking throughout the playoffs, and I'm sure that you'll have a Stanley Cup preview show as well. Pete, appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for doing this. Good luck in our matchup. If you win, it's all right. At least I lost to a super nice guy. More hockey talk here on the break. We'll say goodbye to Pete. We also have some MLB stuff to talk about as well. Keep her locked. Welcome back. And a little bit more hockey talk. Pete Jensen's fantastic, isn't he? He's just the nicest guy. I didn't even have to pay him to say all those nice things to me. And, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, I'm psych. I hope I take him down in the Fantasy Hockey Championship. Okay, so some NHL props and some picks here. Hopefully we can continue the success. Usually how it goes when, you know, I pump up FTN and off a good night, it's bad night. So proceed with caution here. But hopefully we can finish the week here strong into the weekend. Let's start with the shot props. Again, there's only a handful of games here, so 2.5 across the board here, apart from Connor McDavid. You know, this is a really good spot for the Ottawa Senators. The Columbus Blue Jackets looks like they could be without Zach Werenski, they could be without Patrick Laine, but even still, if those two guys did play, I still would like this Ottawa Senators team to just kind of rack up a few shots. They've been the Blue Jackets, that is. This is a team that's been giving up a lot of rubber. 5-5 per 60, according to Nigel Statrick, over the last 6 weeks of the season. The Blue Jackets inside the top 10 in shots allowed, and shot attempts allowed, rather. And then inside the top 10, 7th overall in shots allowed at 5-5 per 60. That is key for me. 5-5 numbers per 60, of course, like most of the goals and the shots do come on the power play. But Josh Norris, he hasn't really been hitting consistently. If you look at the back of his hockey card, you'll see over the last couple games, 2-1, 1-2, 2-4, and 2. Before that, he was on a heck of a run where he had cleared 2.5 in 6 straight and 7 of 9. So he has had a really good season. We talked about him a little bit there with Pete. I do like the over 2.5, and I like Batherson, who's a plus money play at 2.5 as well. He has cleared in 3 of his past 4 and 5 of his last 7 games. I like both. I couldn't find Tim Stützle. I think he's also in play as well. He's been plus money lately. I think you can have some fun with some of these Senator guys. I don't really feel all that great about any of the Blue Jackets. Maybe Jack Roslovic for a point. Bjorkstrand hasn't really been shooting. I like Roslovic potentially to hit the score sheet. Connor McDavid, really looking forward to this matchup against the Colorado Avalanche. This is going to be a really good one. I expect some offense. We'll get to the next slide in a minute here. But Connor McDavid, he's cleared 3.5 in 9 of his last 11 games. I like him a little bit more than Leon Draisaitl. I also think that Zach Hyman is in play. He's been a guy that we've talked a lot about on this show. And then Valerie Nichushkin, he's just having a really good season for the Colorado Avalanche. Up on that top line with Nate McKinnon, they got Kadri back in the lineup. I'm not sure if Mikko Rantanen is going to play tonight. If Rantanen doesn't play, they probably go Burakovsky with Nichushkin and McKinnon on that top line, but also that second line. If you can find Arturi Lehkonen, I notice he's plus 360 for an anytime goal. He's getting an opportunity in Colorado on the power play, a top power play, which is something that he just didn't really get an opportunity to do in Montreal. He's got a couple goals with the Avs, and he's shooting a lot. If you can find him anywhere, maybe Bodog, Bovada, those north of the border, he could be at 1.5. I would take him at 2.5, but I do like Nichushkin overall as a guy who's cleared in 9 of his past 11 games. So flipping over to some of the picks here. On the ice, I'm expecting some goals in Colorado and Edmonton, even though Pete and I did talk a lot about Mike Smith and how strong he's been, but the Avs are, you know, a different beast here, and the Oilers have been playing to a lot of overs at home. They can score 3 or 4 themselves, even if we do see Darcy Kemper between the pipes. I'm going to roll with the Wild. I like this Minnesota team. I agree with a lot of points that Pete Jensen talked about there when it comes to Minnesota. Really good hockey team, strong in goal, strong on the blue line, strong at home, playing the Kraken here tonight. And as just a puck money play for Arizona, you can get that one at minus 110. And then to include Washington on the road against Arizona. That'll get you around, just let me do a quick time here for you, plus 215, plus 213. Use a free prop shop and parlay calculator to get the best possible odds. And even though I was, you know, talking about some Senators getting some shots on goal, I do like the under here. You know, potentially with those Columbus Blue Jackets players missing their key guys in line, maybe Werenski, Elvis Merzlikins has been really strong between the pipes. Anton Forsberg's been really strong between the pipes for Ottawa as well. So I have a lean to the under 6.5. I think, you know, parlaying maybe the total between Colorado and Edmonton and the total in this Ottawa and Columbus game, I think that makes for a decent two-leg parlay in there. All right, so the NHL talk is done for now. We got some MLB stuff here next on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. A lot of action around the diamond of time. Everybody's in action. You got the Cubbies playing a little bit earlier. So a couple MLB props for you. And I'll probably wrap up Mean Streets with a couple MLB picks, just straight picks. But here's what I'm thinking from a prop standpoint. I really like CJ Krohn today. It has nothing to do with revenge. Maybe a little bit. This is actually a pretty decent price for him to get a hit at minus 145 for CJ Krohn. He's going to see pitches from Tarik Skubal of the Detroit Tigers. Skubal last year allowed 35 home runs and 34 to right-handed batters, and he had a 48% fly ball rate against righties. He's just a guy that I believe, you know, so far very small sample size, is keeping the ball on the ground, but the fly ball rate was really high last year. And I really like CJ Krohn anytime he's up against a lefty. Of course, you're going to keep that in mind. In Coors, you're not going to get these kind of odds on at home. No chance at plus 530 for him to hit a home run. That's kind of a bit of a bonus shot there. But last year against lefties, a 311 average, 8 homers, 4.09 WOBA, 144 WRC plus. He had 28 home runs overall. He had a 44% fly ball rate against lefties as well, a little bit higher than his fly ball rate against righties. So he's got some pop in his bat. He's hitting in a great lineup. I do like the Rockies, man. They're playing a little bit. They're playing off to a really good start. They can score some runs there. So CJ Krohn, for me, he's got some pop. Let's see if he can get a hit for us. I was looking for total bases, couldn't find it. Probably at plus money if you wanted to get involved there. Maybe you can get a home run, plus 530. Anthony Rendon has a pretty good matchup, too. I expect him to be in the lineup tonight against Zimmerman of the Baltimore Orioles. Another southpaw on the hill for this evening. Another guy who gives up a ton of contact. And Anthony Rendon, you know, you can't really go off of the last 2 years. He was hardly healthy. 2020 was a shortened season, and he battled multiple injuries last season. But a career guy against lefties, you know, a WOBA that's flirting with 400, 393, and a guy that's, you know, a really good average as well, just against lefties for his career, 295. We're just looking for him to get on base a couple times. Of course, walks don't count, but if he can get a couple singles, maybe a double. I'm not really into his power. He doesn't have a ton of power, but Zimmerman does give up a lot of contact and a lot of fly balls. And then Aaron Judge, speaking of fly balls and home runs, a matchup against Aaron Civale of the Cleveland Guardians is a guy last year that gave up 23 home runs, struggled against right-handed batters, more so than left-handed batters. Aaron Judge is off to a pretty good start, was among the leaders, him and Stanton last year, in terms of power against right-handed pitching as well. So I think that's a pretty good spot for Aaron Judge. I think he could go deep as well, but I wanted the plus money play for the over 1.5 a total bases. We're going to round out Mean Streets just talking about the NBA playoffs with 3 games on the schedule. Don't go anywhere. One more segment. Welcome back in one final time. So 3 more games in the association here tonight. Before I get to a couple of those picks, there were a couple MLB picks that I actually don't mind here this evening that I wanted to talk about. The Houston Astros playing the Toronto Blue Jays. We have Justin Verlander on the bump for the Astros. They're pretty heavy favorites at minus 160, but I do like them tonight. Verlander's looked like vintage Verlander over his first couple of starts. He's thrown with a lot of velocity. He's always had the command. He's striking guys out. I obviously do like this Jays lineup. I like the Astros one as well, and I do believe Ross Stripling is on the bump for the Bluebirds. So I am leaning with Houston there. I do like the White Sox. I don't know if Mike Convery's in the house. I saw the conversation there. Morning, guys. The White Sox stink. Let's talk some hockey there. I do like his White Sox today with Michael Kopech on the bump for Chicago. I do give them a slight edge of, you know, offensively in Minnesota. It's got a lot of swing and miss in their lineup. So I like the White Sox in there as well. And then I do like the Giants, or the Rockies was my dog. The Colorado Rockies at plus 130 up against Tarik Skubal as well. Antonio Sensatella is not the best pitcher for the Rockies, a bit of a contact guy. But like I said, Skubal's just allowed a lot of power, a lot of pop over the last year. I do believe the Rockies could get to him. I think it's a pretty good price to get a Rockies team at on the road still at plus money. All right, tonight in the association for the NBA, I have this lean to the Bulls. I really do. We joke on the show about them winning. I know DJ Betts came in here looking for a dog, and we talked, if you're looking for a dog, and I know there's a lot of bonuses in Ontario, those that can now officially bet with new books, and we have some sign-up bonuses inside the link of the description of this video. The Bulls are plus 122 at home, plus 130 that you can get. No Chris Middleton. It's going to be a pretty good matchup. I think this series has shifted a little bit. I think it could go the distance. How about Gus Johnson with the call? Frozen DeRozan, ice in his veins. DeRozan was awesome in game two. We gave Vucevic point prop in game one. I like him again. I'm seeing 19.5 in game one. He was strong in 39 minutes. He had 24 points. In game two, he had 36 minutes, and he had 24 points. So his point prop is at 19.5. I think that he is still going to be a factor for the Bulls. So I have this lean to the Bulls at home, or if you want to just take them on the spread, by all means, you can do that at plus 2.5. I think Miami continues to roll as well. I know the series has shifted to Atlanta. I just love Miami's defense. I think they're pretty elite. And then on the way out, I do have another upset here, and it's the Pelicans at home, plus 115. I think that this series has absolutely changed with no Devin Booker. I like CJ McCollum over 24.5 points and over 2.5 threes. For CJ McCollum in the two games so far, 25 points and 23 points. So he only cleared the number once, but he has been a beast from beyond the arc. 3-for-8 in game one, and 6-for-10 in game two. So I think he's going to continue to be a factor. Also on the way out, I know we only got 15 seconds. If you have an account over at Bet365, they've been doing some free same game parlays. I've had some success with it. You can take the low points. There's a low point total for players, a medium, and a high. You don't have to get too greedy. You can go to the low. You get CJ McCollum instead of 24.5. You can get him at 20.5. You can get Chris Paul like in the high teens. So that's a way maybe to have a successful night betting in the NBA. I'd go that route. Check it out. Same game parlays over at Bet365. At Chris Meany. Any questions? Have a great Friday night, a fantastic weekend. We'll be back on Monday.